This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Matthew Staver. He is the founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel, and he's dean of the Liberty University School of Law. His organization has recently filed suit with New York's State Supreme Court over what they claim are illegal tactics used by those who favored and succeeded in pushing through the legalization of gay marriage in the Empire State just a few weeks ago. And, of course, gay marriages began on Sunday in the state. And, Matt, thanks so much, as always, for being with us.
Thank you. My pleasure to be with you.
A lot of different allegations in this suit, ranging from the Mayor Bloomberg contributing to any Republicans' reelection campaign who supported the bill, Mayor Bloomberg cajoling Republicans behind closed doors, as well as some other things, which I certainly want you to elaborate on in a moment. But in general, what would you say in describing the tactics used to pass this through the New York State Senate?
Well, they were strong-arm tactics that were backdoor, and they tried to literally shut out the public and even some senators from having a voice in this process. This is a situation where they sought to redefine marriage, one of the most important social issues that we face today. And they were shut out of the process, not only the senators, but most especially the people. And that is a direct violation of New York law that requires meetings to be open, requires the public to be able to not only be aware of, but to be able to observe the performance of the public officials, to attend and to listen to the deliberations so they understand the decisions that go into the process. They must be allowed to have input and observe the process. The public was shut out, and even senators were locked inside the Senate, so they could not even get out of the building, and the guards were not letting them leave the Senate floor.
As it was, this effort to recruit enough Republican crossover votes to pass the law took a while. What impact do you think allowing activist groups as well as the public into some of these hearings would have made on the ultimate outcome here?
Well, I think it would have made a huge difference. For example, one of the people that we represent several, with New Yorkers for Constitutional Freedom, Jason McGuire and Dwayne Motley. We also represent Nathaniel Leiter, a rabbi, who is with a different group. But Dwayne Motley has been a lobbyist in New York for 29 years. He says that what he saw was unprecedented in scope with regards to the lockout. Mayor Bloomberg, who's a registered independent, spoke with Republican conference in a closed-door meeting on June 16 at the New York Capitol building. We also know that it looks like a quorum of senators were actually there in that meeting with Mayor Bloomberg when Dwayne Motley, who's a registered lobbyist with the New Yorkers for Constitutional Freedom, asked to address the Republican conference. When Mayor Bloomberg concluded, he was denied the opportunity. Plaintiff, our Rabbi Leiter, who was also at the Capitol building that day, also was not permitted to address the Republican conference. So what we see is Mayor Bloomberg being behind closed doors, the public and the lobbyists and the activists were not able to speak to the same senators. And Bloomberg said specifically that he was going to pledge at different times he made these allegations or these representations to financially contribute to the reelection of campaigns for Republican senators who voted for the act and pledged to financially support the opponents of Republican senators who opposed the act. And what we now know is it appears that he's actually made good on his promises, and he's donated at least $41,200 to four Republican senators who voted in favor of the act. So there was all kinds of just backdoor pressure. Governor Cuomo got involved in this act as well. The law in New York, in fact, the Constitution of New York, requires that the doors of the House be open and that they not be locked, that they be available for people to come in there during the debate. They were literally locked. Senators could not get out, even though they wanted to leave the building. They could not leave. People could not get in. And also, the law says that no bill shall be passed unless it has been printed and on the desk of the members in its final form at least 3 calendar legislative days prior to the final passage, unless the governor certifies that there is an immediate necessity to vote on this bill. In this case, there was an amendment to this same-sex marriage law on the very day, just hours before it was voted upon. There was no reason to have this bypass the 3-day period, and yet the governor issued this note that said that there was an immediate necessity to vote on the bill. He wanted it to be voted upon before the 11 o'clock news so he could run to the media for the 11 o'clock news and have it as the headline that night and on the newspaper front story on Saturday. This is just unbelievable strong-arm tactics that clearly violated multiple laws in the state of New York.
We're talking with Matthew Staver of Liberty Council. And Matt, we've obviously talked about the role here by Governor Cuomo, the role by Mayor Bloomberg, who came in and lobbied heavily on this. Ultimately, though, this is a Republican-controlled legislature, at least this branch of the legislature, the state Senate. What can you tell us about what the Senate Majority Leader and his deputies were doing as all this was being played out?
Well, they were complicit in this process. And in fact, if they weren't complicit in it, this never would have happened. The Senate is controlled by the Republicans by just a slight majority. And it was the Senate Republican majority that ultimately was complicit here. And therefore, you had several senators, about four senators, that switched their vote from the previous vote under all this pressure and backdoor lobbying where the public was shut out. And that was the turning point. In fact, the papers reported that this bill was likely going to die because there was not enough votes in the Senate to pass it. And that's when the governor, Mayor Bloomberg, and even the Senate leadership, led by Republicans, went into high gear to put all of these shenanigans together, violate the state constitution, violate the state laws, and ultimately trample upon the rights of the people to have open and transparent government. They literally took government and the political process away from the people. And even some senators, for example, Senator Diaz, who is a Democrat, who opposed the bill, was denied the opportunity to have debate on the bill. Like all other senators, if there is a bill coming up, they have an opportunity to give a couple of minutes of message, a two-minute statement, regarding their position on the bill. Senator Diaz, a Democrat, moved to lay aside the bill to permit the debate, but his motion was denied by Senate leadership. I mean, if you watch this on the video of this particular debate, it looks like a zoo taking place. And then when other senators wanted to leave the Senate floor, they were prohibited and threatened with arrest if they walked out the doors, which were locked, and they were not able to leave.
Matt, last question before we let you go, because I'm sure you're hearing from the other side on this, saying, well, this might not have been the most pure legislative process. Politics is like making sausage. But what are you really hoping to get out of this? Because ultimately it was passed and signed into law. What type of finding are you asking for and hoping to get from the state Supreme Court?
Well, the Constitution of New York states that the remedy is that the bill would be set aside and that the process start again. And so we're asking for the bill to be set aside and null and void as if it never existed. And then this process would need to start again, where the process is open, transparent, and the people have access to this legislative debate.
And what's the reading on the state Supreme Court? Are they likely to be sympathetic to your argument or more towards the new law?
Well, we don't know yet. Of course, the state Supreme Court in New York is the trial court, so it's the first level. And this case will obviously have to go through the appellate chain up to the New York's highest court. But right now we're at the trial court level asking for this court to intervene and to bring justice and uphold the law that was clearly violated in this case.
We'll keep on top of it. Thanks for bringing it to our attention, Matt. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Matthew Staver is the founder and chairman of Liberty Council, dean of the Liberty University School of Law. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.